Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We hear again the first two verses from St. John. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. I bring you greetings, first of all, from the staff and the residents, the clients of Bethesda Lutheran Homes and Services out of Watertown, Wisconsin, where I serve as parish ministry consultant. Many of you probably are familiar with the ministry of Bethesda Lutheran Home. It is a ministry to, for, and with people with developmental disabilities, most specifically, mental retardation. The ministry began in Bethesda in 1904 in Watertown, a small little ministry which the Lord has blessed greatly over the years. Today we serve people in 14 different states, basically from coast to coast, especially with the association that happened with Good Shepherd Lutheran Home of the West a couple years ago, as now the two organizations working together to serve this population of people with developmental disabilities. Bethesda at one time had 600 plus people on the campus in Watertown. Today there's 140. Going to be going down to 120 because the move with people is to the community, to be involved in the community, be living in the community, to be attending church in the community, to be having their spiritual life cared for and fed by pastors and congregations in the community, where the community of the church also encourages them, people with disabilities, to have an active part in their local congregation. Because when you look at statistics, kind of sadly, it shows that up to 90% of people with disabilities are not in church and are not hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. So there are people out there by the thousands that are saying out to you, even though they may not know, they're saying this, show us Jesus. And you are called to show them Jesus, because that's what the world needs, even if they don't need it, or even if they don't know it, rather. Like the Greeks who came to Philip and said, show us Jesus. Just before this in the text, it talks about the raising of Lazarus. Now, people wanted to see Lazarus. People wanted to see Jesus. So these Greeks come saying, we would wish to see Jesus. What did they know about Jesus? Maybe things they've heard, maybe about that he raised Lazarus from the dead. Maybe they knew nothing else. People will come to you and will say, show us Jesus. But maybe not in those words. They will come to you as your pastor in the hurts of their marriage, in the hurts of their children, in the hurts of life. Some may drop in out of the blue that you don't even know from your community and will have the same problems. They're facing a divorce. The kids are on drugs. They've lost their job. They turn to the church. Say, maybe I can get some help. Maybe there's a God who will help me. And they cry out to you. They don't know they're saying, show me Jesus. But you are called to show them Jesus. We're all sinners, all fall short of the glory of God. Some don't even realize what that implication is for their eternal life. You are called to show them Jesus. Even if they have disabilities, the people we work with at Bethesda with severe and profound mental retardation, I should probably give you a simple definition of mental retardation, that particular developmental disability in which an individual develops at a below average rate and may have difficulty in learning or social adjustment, getting along with people, having a job, and so on, but yet very much able to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior if they hear the message. They hear the message at Bethesda. They don't always hear the message out in the world. You are called to show them Jesus. 7.5 million people with mental retardation in America. That's one in every 33 people. One in every 33 babies born in this country, some degree of mental retardation. There's a mission field right here at home. You don't have to go thousands of miles across the sea. It's in our backyard. It's in Fort Wayne. It's in Watertown. It's in Detroit, Chicago, L.A., and all the rural areas in between. People need to see Jesus. Some people wonder, why do we have to share that message with people with mental retardation? They don't understand it anyway. We take the people from our group homes. Bethesda has group homes in Wisconsin and the 14 states I mentioned, and each one of those homes has a partner congregation with whom they worship, have opportunities for service and fellowship and so on. And sometimes when our people attend church, the staff will tell me, why do we go to this church? The pastor's sermons are boring. They're over their head. They don't understand anything. They're not getting anything out of it. I have a Bible class that I do once a week with about 60 people divided into smaller groups. And I must admit, sometimes I've gotten very frustrated too. When I try to teach a Bible class and I use big pictures so I can show them pictures of Jesus in the Bible lesson that we're working with, and what's he doing, what's he saying, what does it mean for you? And I get a little frustrated because people are wandering around, because people are babbling and talking with things that don't mean anything, and it looks like they're not paying attention. What are they getting out of it? Are they getting anything out of it? Should I continue this? I went through all those struggles too. And finally, the Lord reminded me, it's not your job to create faith in the heart. It's your job to show them Jesus. It's your job to share the word, to expose them to the word. Maybe all they get out of your Sunday sermon is, Jesus loves me. Or Jesus died for me to take away my sins. Or Jesus is taking me to heaven. We're called to show them Jesus. The Holy Spirit will take it from there and create that faith in their heart and sustain them in that faith. You're called to show them Jesus even when it doesn't seem that there's any hope, when it seems hopeless or pointless or fruitless. From our human point of view, the Holy Spirit works in that heart and communicates with that heart. You stand on Jesus and stand on God's word, and people can respond. Sometimes people that are nonverbal can respond to you in different ways, perhaps. I had an experience at Bethesda a year ago, Christmas. Our Christmas pageant that we do at Bethesda has been getting smaller and smaller each year as people have moved off the campus and into to group homes. And so church at Bethesda, our chapel services are getting shrinking up. We don't hear much singing. Well, the Christmas pageant happened that year, and as we performed the Christmas pageant with the residents taking the parts of everybody, and as we sung the Christmas carols in between the lessons, the reading was pretty quiet, or the singing, rather, was pretty quiet, till we got to Silent Night. When we began singing Silent Night, I started sitting in the back where I was and singing. And as I sang through that first verse, I started hearing a noise. Not the typical noise that you hear at Bethesda, the shouts, the screams, the shrieks, and whatever, but a rising crescendo of sound. And I stopped, and I listened. And it was the sound of people that were nonverbal, that couldn't speak words. They could speak sounds. They could make noise and sounds. It was the sounds of people communicating with their God. It was the sounds of people praising the Lord in their own tongue. I couldn't understand a word of it. And I just sat back with tears in my eyes and listened as people communicated with God and praised him. People at Bethesda know the Lord Jesus. The people in the community homes, in the group homes from other providers, and at homes, in their individual homes, need to see Jesus. You are called to share them with Jesus, to show them by your acceptance and your love that you love them, that you know them and you care for them as Jesus does. And people can respond. We have plenty of resources on the web and on the 800 numbers and things like that. Our Deaconess Judith Anderson here is the Indiana Parish Ministry Consultant that can help you with resources as you prepare to go out and as you maybe work with people with special needs right now. She has materials and products for you to be able to use. And remember, someone showed you Jesus. You needed to see Jesus. You need to know him, that he is your Savior, that he took away your sins to give you eternal life. They need to see Jesus, whoever comes across your path. Don't miss them. Don't let the people with developmental disabilities slip between the cracks, because sometimes people don't bring them to church. Sometimes people hide them away. Seek them out, find them, share your faith with them, and learn from them. You may also learn from them about Jesus as they share their faith with you. A man at Bethesda, before I ever went there, saw the funeral of his friend at Bethesda. And as he walked up to the casket to pay his last respects, laid his hand on the casket and said, "Goodbye, John. See you in heaven." A deaconess at the time who was there told me that story. I never met John, and the other man as well. 2 years ago, when my mother died, I had been visiting her from Wisconsin over to Michigan many times. When it got near the end of her days, my sister called from Michigan and said, "You better come, because I think it's pretty close." So we went up to Plainwall, Michigan, where she was in the nursing home, and when I got there that day, she was able to look at me. She was able to move a bit. She was able to sit in her chair, but she couldn't talk. Other family members from Indiana and different places came and visited, came and went throughout the day. We talked, we prayed, we shared scripture, we visited together. I went to my sister's at night. The next morning, I came back. My mom at this time could not move much. She couldn't open her eyes. She laid in the bed. And throughout the day, as people came to visit and as people shared and as I read my mom's scripture and as I talked and as we prayed, eventually the day grew long and evening came and I realized I have to leave. I have to go. How was I going to leave? I didn't know how to leave. For all I knew, when I left, I would not see my mom alive again. How did I get up and walk out of that room, knowing I might not see her alive in this world again? I didn't know what to say. And those words from that man at Bethesda popped into my heart, my mind, and I looked at my mom in one last prayer, and I held her hand, and I said, "Goodbye, Mom. We'll see you in heaven." A man with developmental disabilities helped me at a time when I needed to see Jesus, and he helped me see Jesus. May you go with the blessings of the Lord, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, as you answer that call to show them Jesus. Amen.